as kind to me as anybody world could be, as kind as my own mother. She never spoke a false word to me at all. And she was just lovely. But she worked very, very hard all the time. She did not have time to spend with her children. And before, while they were little, Grandmother Bodiford stayed with that. Grandmother Grove Bodiford. She was Grove first. And she married a Mr. Bodiford late in the year. And she stayed late in life and was me. All I ever heard was Grandmother Bodiford. And she lived with them, and she depended on Grandmother Bodiford to teach them and to hear their prayers and teach them Bible stories and talk to them a great deal. And incidentally, just as an aside, Mrs. Bodiford never did realize, she never did accept freedom for the Negroes. And no, she, because she was born in slavery time and they had slaves. And Mrs. Grove told me this, I'll get back to her in a minute, that she would be sitting on the porch out there at their house, which was close to the, closer to the highway than Mac and Betty's house is. And she would see a black boy or a black man passing. She said, "Here, boy, come here. Come here." And he said, "Son." "Yes, ma'am." "So go around and get me some wood." And she never did learn, you know.
Any
she,
old black guy.
And strangers, no, they just come in. They didn't dare disobey her. She had such a commanding appearance, I guess. And making a big circle. But anyway, she was, you know, good Christian woman. That was just the way she, all she knew, that they were supposed to do what white people told them. And they did for her. They wouldn't refuse it. But anyway, Mrs. Grove worked very hard, as I said, and she had cows. And she sent milk to town early every morning. The Francis children would help her. That was the black cook that lived with her 30 years, lived on the place there. And they would deliver the milk. And she would come in. After the milk was in work, I mean, she would stay in that milk business. She tended to, she milked too. She liked to do it. She did this because she felt it was necessary, and not only that, she liked to do it. She loved it. Then she would send, that was the way she said that she sent the boys to college. And Betty Kate too. And she was still doing that when we married. And she would work with her cream and butter and make the best butter I've ever eaten anywhere. Best homemade butter I've ever eaten. There's not one drop of sour milk left in it. It was sweet, good butter. And she did a wonderful job of that. The main thing about Grandmother Grove that I thought caused a great deal of friction in the family was the total absence of sense of humor. She just didn't have it. And Mr. Grove picked at her. And he had a streak of mischief in him. And he knew just what to say to get her fired off. And they would quarrel bitterly. I mean, you don't know how frightened I was the first morning I woke there and heard all that going on. I said, "Bill, what in the world's the matter?" And he said, "Oh, it's just Mom, Pa." He called Mom, Pa, most of the time.
Gerald, we have turkey for sandwiches and
plenty over there.
Chili, if you want.
Plenty over there.
In the next house, right?
And so I would talk to him, "Miss Grove, he's teasing you, don't answer." "Indeed, I will answer it." She just didn't have it. She just couldn't see.
The bushes did not have it.
No, sirree. White was white and black was black. There was no gray. She just didn't have it. If you told her something, she took it for absolutely. I would have teased her in the world. She never would have gotten over it. And
why did he do that?
Just honor.
Because she responded that way.
That's yeah. Right. It was a game they played.
And, well, I don't know, there was a lot of bitterness between them, actually. A great deal of bitterness. He was vindictive in ways, in subtle ways, and some not so subtle. And, for example, when Grandma Bush died. While she was at, Ms. Grohl was at the funeral, he didn't go. He was disabled and he wasn't going away. And while she was at their mother's funeral, he let an old trashy white man named Cook, that lived on the place there, go up there in the unfinished part upstairs. It was unfinished for years. So Bill and I finished some of it and made us some living quarters up there. But anyway, he let him go up there and bring down some trunks. So yeah, you can have those little trunks. They had Gerald's things in them and other things that she had treasured. And he said, just take them out and burn them. He took them in the backyard and burn them. She never, never got over that. It's just that feeling. I'd have hit him over the head myself. And he said, it weren't a bit of good, just trash. And he didn't know what was in, didn't care. This old man could get anything out of Miss Girl. And he took advantage when Miss Girl was gone. And Miss Girl was ill, and had he been well, he might not have thought about this.
How was he ill?
He had heart trouble, and I thought his mind was affected at times, yet it was very clear he could quote poetry this long. And he wrote poems and all, and he had lucid moments, and it was lucid most of the time, but I don't know. They were just an unhappy, unmatched couple. She would say right before him, I loved Oscar Lovin, but Ma and Pa wouldn't let me marry
him. I didn't know that.
I've heard her say it 50 times.
No, nothing like that was for me to
And